since September 11th, 2011, there's been 31,000 suicides, veteran suicides.
Yep.
So 7,100 of us have perished in combat.
Yes.
31,000 have taken their lives. And part of that, I'm not an expert, I'm not a psychologist. This is just my personal feeling. Part of that is lack of purpose. They've transitioned out this 20-year war that never ended, that really didn't mean anything to anybody now, and they've lost purpose.
Welcome, everybody, for our special release podcast. I'm Glenn Wiggle here with Mike Lomas. We have a special guest in studio, and this is going to kind of be a tease. This podcast we're going to be releasing now, but we're also going to release this podcast again in the future as part of a series that we're going to launch. And this is going to be like a podcast mini-series, so it's not going to be a forever podcast. We've got enough of those going already, right? This new series will be just a, you know, probably 10 or 12 episode series where we're interviewing different business owners, and we're going to call it something along the lines of You Built This. That's still in the works, so by the time this is, you know, the actual series release, it might be different. But, you know, back in 08, 09, you know, one of the things I found extraordinarily offensive was when the Democrat Party, which really started with Elizabeth Warren, by the way, Obama actually ripped it off. He even plagiarized that, but
Obama was the one with the power to really
move
this thing. Yep.
And he came out, and he's, you know, everyone remembers famously saying in his speech, he said, well, you didn't build that. You got a factory. Somebody else made that happen, you know? And the whole idea was, and the whole concept in their little tiny brains was that somebody else built the road to that factory for you to be able to move their goods.
That's right.
What these folks didn't realize was that back in the days when some of these factories were built, there was no federal government interstate road system. Mm-hmm. It was oftentimes the business owner themselves that were indeed building the factory and the road to get things to the market.
But, and they're still doing that because the revenue from that factory is what actually affords
the road.
Not some liberal in their mom and dad's basement
that is,
you know, on TikTok for the day.
Right. But nevertheless, as business owners ourselves, and Mike and I have owned, you know, 12 businesses over the years. I think we currently own 9 and have sold 3. But we've also been extraordinarily fortunate to work with a lot of business owners that have sold businesses, are running businesses. And, you know, as I was telling, our guest, who I'm going to introduce in a second, I'm going to tease it here. I'm going to keep in suspense. before we started the podcast, it's amazing to hear the different stories and be fortunate of the people that have started their business and how they built it, how they started it, what they had to go through, some of the sacrifices they made, some of the difficulties. I think a lot of people that have never owned a business have no idea, what it means. I had an opportunity to bring you in, and I wanted to start with you, Robbie. So Robbie De Niro is our very first guest here, and we're happy to have you in. Robbie, you obviously have been in the news a lot. You're famous in Western New York, of course, for standing up to the face masks and the garbage when you owned the gym. And I know we're going to talk about the new business, which I'm excited to hear about, but just start me from the get-go of, you know, that business. You know, how hard was it? You know, some of the regulatory stuff. Remember, you started a gym. It's hard enough to start a gym. And then you had to go through COVID where they're trying to shut things down. Like, how hard as a business owner is it to pay bills when you have no income and no revenue?
They were so worried about people's health that they shut the gyms down to help your health.
So, Robbie, you built it. And I want to hear how you did it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me come on. So I had just got done with about 14 years in the Marine Corps. I transitioned
out. God bless you, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. Thank you. Greatest 14 years of my life. It's an amazing experience to serve the country, especially as a Marine. So I went into the civilian world for a while, and I worked in the restaurant business and management, and it was a wonderful establishment, but it just wasn't for me. It did not serve me in a way that I found meaningful. I had a very difficult time transitioning, so I had to go out on my own and start a business so that I could find the fulfillment and I could scratch the itch that I needed to be scratched, transitioning from a life of, you know, a lot of excitement and high pressure, high stress, and very risky situations. I needed somehow to continue to fill that need.
Yeah, I know. In our business, we needed the leadership skills that you may have learned in the Marines. I know Jay Blanchard has been instrumental in our office.
I believe that.
It was funny because Glenn, when we met Jay, Glenn said, "I've never seen two guys build an airplane after it left the ground." and now some of that was good because we had the push to get it going, right? But you also need the structure. Right. And I know with Glenn and I, you know, specifically looking for people, veterans, because they tend to have that structure in place.
Right.
Where you say, okay, guys, look at, we're going to build the airplane, but look at, let's get some of the foundation together before we actually leave the ground, right?
Yes.
And he was awesome at that. And just, you can't thank him enough for building that structure, because it did allow us to take things to the next level in a huge way. And without that structure, we wouldn't be where we are today. There's no doubt about it. I mean, looking at your first business, were you able to take a lot of the skills that you learned in the Marines and say, okay, I'm going to apply that to a business?
100% that I decided I wanted to continue to do what I was doing in the Marine Corps, but in the civilian sector. And a lot of what I did as an infantry officer was training Marines.
Yeah.
So I wanted to continue training. I decided to train civilians instead.
Yeah. And by the way, is training, and we talked about this during COVID, because you were one of the few that had the stones to actually stay open. It was not that ordinary training where you show up and you lift a few weights and maybe you run the treadmill. I mean, we were flipping tires. I had like dumbbells like hanging from my head. I mean, it was an awesome workout, a really awesome workout.
When did you start the business? When did you start the gym, Robbie?
August 2012.
Cool. Okay.
It was August 2012. I started it, and you know, to start the business, I took my life savings, and I just went for it. I didn't. You know, I'd been gone out of this area for the last 15, 16 years. I really didn't have too many points of contact. I had no customers, no clients. I just knew that I needed to feed my family and do something that would keep me sane.
Now, you had kids at that point?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, we had, see, that I always say that I don't think a lot of people understand how hard that is to say, okay, I'm going to take my life savings. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I have mouths to feed as well. That's everybody, right. I should say everybody, but a lot of folks that have never owned a business thinks, oh, well, they own a business, so there's obviously revenue coming in right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's bills to pay back first, and people forget that.
Right, and that's, you know, coming up with a smart business plan, making sure that I took my life savings, but I didn't just gamble with it.
Yeah,
I spent a lot of time developing a business plan and writing out monthly goals. These are things I needed to do. Mm. This is the revenue I needed to make. This is, you know, how many clients I needed each month in order to eventually be able to start paying myself and pay down debt, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things that I did, Glenn, specifically was go debt-free. I took cash. I had the ability to take cash.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of time finding the right place. I made sure I was in the right location. I did a lot of research. I knew that Orchard Park was the right place based on the demographic and based geographically where it was located in relationship to all the other towns. And it was the closest center point to the best demographics, folks with disposable income, folks with lots of kids in an area that loves sports.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for me, I did a lot of research. That's right. Where I needed to be to start my gym.
So for you, the military background, you know, gave you the planning, because that's huge, right? So that's what Jay gives us, is the checklist, the planning, 100%. The preparation. The preparation being 90% of success is like, I literally have stickies now made to say that. that's huge. So the goal planning, I think, is key. But the one thing you said, interestingly enough, you know, as a Marine, you're used to the excitement, the risk, the danger. You know, that plays well for you as a business owner, you know, risking things to start a business. For a lot of business owners, like, Mike and I didn't have that. Like, I'm not a badass like you are out, you know, in the field. Like, Mike and I were, you know, tough with a pencil, right? Really hard with a, really, really, you know, strong with a keyboard, right? So,
So
when we started our business, like, it was pretty darn scary. Like, I didn't like, you know, that thrill and that danger part of it, I did not like.
Yeah, we could have done without.
Fun for me.
We actually left a company that wasn't supporting us at all.
Right.
They actually said our radio show at the time was a stupid idea. And then when we left, they sued us.
Right.
I'm not kidding. And our radio show took off and became a huge success. I mean, changed our lives. We were blessed in so many ways because of that show. And then they called us a bunch of years later and said, do you want to come back? And we're like, yeah. I'd rather cut one of my feet off,
right?
Like, you know, kick it with the other one. That's what I'd like to do. Like, that's one of my foot off. That's, I mean, ridiculous. But it's funny because at the time, it's a good point. Like, we were both like up at night puking.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I hope this works out.
That's,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. And we didn't have any kids at that point. Now, it's funny, after a week after we started our business, then Glenn found out he was having a baby. Like, boy, okay.
Yep.
We have to make this work now. There's no other choice.
Yeah, it was scary.
When there's something to be said for when your back is up against the wall, you tend to fight a little bit harder.
That's right.
That's
there's something
true.
To be said for that when you're starting a business. There's either forward or nowhere.
Yeah, that's right.
No choice.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're selling that business. Sorry, Mike, but you're selling the business now. So I want to get to your new business because I know it's what you really want to talk about, right? So
you've had a
successful, you survived COVID, which is amazing. So now you've got a buyer for that business. You're moving on to a new business, which is awesome. So let's talk about the new business. Well, first of all, what made you decide to transition to move on? You know, what made you decide this was the time to, because for a lot of business owners, what I find is that they'll run that business literally their whole life. Like, it's their baby. Like, we've had business owners in their late 70s, 80s selling a business, and they almost change their mind. Like, I'm not sure I want to sell this. Like, whoa, you're 78 now. Like, it's time, really.
It's a family member,
But what made you decide? Because you're young. I mean, obviously, you're going on a new business. And some business owners do that. We've seen a lot of business owners do the same thing, where they sell one, they do another, they do another, they do another. Is that in the cards for you, or is there just an opportunistic kind of thing, or you just feel like it was time to try something different? Or tell me about the sale on the one side, and then tell me about the new business on the other.
A little bit of a serial entrepreneur. I've had multiple businesses through my life, so is my wife. So we love the excitement of starting something. We love the excitement of building a business. But honestly, it boiled down to it was time to serve people in a different way. Hmm. We spent about close to 11 years serving people every day, coaching them, helping them improve their lives. And as our family grew, we have a blended family with 7 kids. As our family grew, we knew that we needed to be there for our kids more. So we needed to serve people in a different way. We didn't want to stop serving them, but we had to show up differently for them, because running a gym means I'm there sometimes from 5:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is an early start. You guys did not mess around.
And a late finish.
First class was 5:30. Yeah, yeah, and you got people working during the day. So you get them there before work, get them there after work. Yeah.
Right.
Tell us about your business. What is the new business?
I am so proud of this. It's called J-Dog Junk Removal and Hauling. and honestly, I could talk about this for days. It's the country's largest veteran-owned franchise. There are over 200 of them in over 34 states. Plus, there's another 30 or so J-Dog carpet cleaning franchises in 10 or 15 states. Mm. So it's an amazing.
Well, when you get the carpet thing done, we will be your number one client. I assure you of that. Somebody's always spilling something here. So every day there's some new coffee on some part of
our. We can get you covered.
All right, cool.
This company was started by Jerry and Tracy Flanagan back in 2011, and it's really interesting how this happened. He was working for somebody else, got tired of making money for somebody else, so he went off on his own and started a birthday party business. Hmm. And it was pretty successful up until around 2008 when the recession hit and the bottom fell out. By 2011, Jerry and Tracy had to declare bankruptcy.
Wow.
But they needed to feed their family, so he grabbed a Jeep, a trailer, and he started hauling junk. That was in 2011. 12 years later, 202 franchises in more than 30 states.
Wow.
I mean, it's just
now,
it's
are
amazing.
The franchisees, do you have to be a veteran to own a franchise?
They franchise with veterans or immediate family members. So 90% of the franchises are owned by, 90% of the franchisees are veterans.
Wow.
About 10% are immediate family members. So a son or daughter
that's
of
awesome.
A franchisee.
Yeah. Going back to what we were saying, part of that's probably not only on purpose to give back, but understanding that those people know what commitment's all about, and loyalty, and being able to help build a brand. So part of that's pretty strategic. It's funny because we've built our whole business on conservative thinking people, and I can't tell you how many liberals they give us advice on how to run a business.
I love
that. You're missing 50% of the people. I'm like, well, we're hoping 60, because there's an extra 10% of you that are really freaking crazy, and we don't want you either. So so it's on purpose. Like, we don't want you in our office. We don't want to deal with you, right? I don't want to talk to you about, you know, why open borders are a bad idea. I want to talk to you about why it's a stupid idea and how we're going to invest to try to, you know, to go around some of that stuff. So tell us about, how does the business model work?
Yeah.
It's incredible. One of the things that makes it so strong is our business values. You know, we operate with the values of respect, integrity, and trust. When somebody hires J-Dog to haul their junk away, they know they're getting treated the military way. Hmm. They're going to be treated respectfully. They don't have to worry about their house getting damaged, or they don't have to worry about price gouging. You know, the integrity is there. They trust us to get the job done.
Yeah.
So the business model is simple. You have junk that needs to get removed, and we show up and take it away. But it's more than just junk removal. We do everything from light demolition to labor services to recycling, moving things. It's really almost nothing we can't do.
Wow.
I've taken down garages. I was just over in on Allen Street in downtown Buffalo, and I removed a whole bunch of coolers and a bar for a guy that is creating a new bar in downtown Buffalo.
Now, wow. Do you charge by like the pound, or how does it work? Like, is it so? Like, and what do you do with the stuff? Like,
separate the bar stuff? Like, what do you do with that? Because it's funny. I need stools. I've got a warehouse that I keep my dragster in.
Right.
And I thought the other day I need stools for the winter because that's going to be our winter hangout with all the guys that help me with the race car, right? So I got to get a fridge for there. I got to get some beers and stuff. And I need stools. And I'm like, I go online. I'm like, I'm not paying $300 for a stool, right?
Right.
It's a race car shop. I don't need Right. It's not a Barbie shop. Not a hotel, right?
One of the beautiful things about J-Dog and how Jerry and Terry set this up, a lot of 60 to 80% of what we take, we keep out of the landfills. So we do that three ways. We can scrap it, we can resell it, and we can donate it. And I would say for my business here in Buffalo, about 75% of what I take that's usable, we donate.
Wow.
I can't tell you how many families we have outfitted now with beds, chairs, dressers, couches.
Wow.
It is nonstop. I've been blessed to meet a couple of amazing pastors, Pastor Miguel, one of them out of Riverside. I'll go to a house, I see what they have, I'll call him up, hey, Miguel, where do you need me to go? And the other day, I was just dropping off a bunch of stuff over on Dart Street in the side to help out a bunch of people.
And now, do you, you've got a warehouse where you store some of this stuff? I mean, it's got to be part of the inventories, I would think, would be a little bit confusing.
There's a huge management piece to that.
Yeah.
So what is usable and what has to be scrapped, has to be thrown out? And then when you do have the usable stuff, there's a real art to not becoming the next junk collector.
You
can very easily get out of control.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden I have a warehouse full of junk.
And figuring out what is value. I watch American Pickers, and I'm like, that's garbage. And they're like, yeah, it's $300.
Right.
I'm like, you could have given me 50 cents. I would have paid you to take it away, right?
Yeah. So having a good network of pastors, honestly, that I work with helps quite a bit get the stuff to the people that need it, because there are so many people in need.
Wow, that's cool.
It feels good to be able to do that too.
How do I buy the bar stools?
The bar stools. Well, now that I know you need bar stools, the next time I do a clean out and I have some bar stools, I guarantee you I will get you some bar stools.
Yeah.
No problem.
I'll buy them. You're helping veterans too. Part of the stuff that you donate, are you looking specifically for veterans or just people in need?
When I donate, it's to people in need.
Okay.
I would love to be able to give it to homeless veterans or veterans, but people that are in need, and regardless of skin color, background, what they look like, if they need something, we're going to help them.
Yeah,
so
cool.
Where we can help veterans and where I do is through employment.
Mm.
And that's really what one of the goals of J-Dog and J-Dog Brands is, to reduce two things: veteran suicide rate and the unemployment rate.
Wow.
And they do a great job of doing that by giving veterans the opportunity for employment.
Huge, by the way. I've said that all the time. Like, if you want to help people mentally, got to get them back moving.
Especially when it's purposeful, right? Purposeful employment is the best type.
Yes.
Right? I mean, there's employment where you're bussing tables and whatever, but there's employment where you're serving people like you are in this case, which is very purposeful. It's got to be a great feeling of satisfaction to be able to do something like that, for sure.
No doubt.
It is. It's making a big difference in the veteran community. If you look at veteran suicide rates, by the end of World War II, veteran suicide rates had stabilized to its just about lowest point, 5 suicides for every 100,000 service members. Okay,
wow.
So that's pretty
low.
It's low.
Yep.
I mean, every suicide is tragic.
Yes.
5 per 100,000 is better than it's ever been.
Yep.
And then as you look at modern age, the last 20 years, it is now up to between 25 and 29 suicides per 100,000.
Wow.
That is almost 6 times increase.
Wow.
And
by the way, in children too, we talked about this on our last podcast, the COVID BS that, you fought harder than anybody. We all were a big part of it, suing to stop some of this garbage. You look at the results of all their stupidity, and we've got a record amount of suicides under the age of 21 in this country right now, just 2 years later. Glenn, we all predicted this, right? When you put face diapers and wrap kids up, tell them they can't go out and do stuff, What do you think the result of that's going to be? It's going to be an increase in alcohol abuse, an increase in drug abuse. It's going to be an increase in suicide. And that's exactly where we are now. By the way, all these liberals that you and I fought and Glenn fought, now they all have amnesia.
Yeah,
now you watch them on TV, they're like, oh, no, I wanted to open the schools. I was a big I didn't want to shut Robbie's gym down. I wanted it open.
But when it comes to the veterans, though, we've got to be a lot more careful. Sadly, we are in a situation in this country now where it's just war is just so callous. It's like, oh yeah, Ukraine, another billion, go right ahead. When Donald Trump came out in that debate and said, "I would stop the war. I want people to stop dying," right? As opposed to, and of course, the CNN reporter that was the gotcha girl who did a horrible job was like, "Well, so you want Russia to win?" No. It's not about winning either side. It's about stopping the people from dying. We don't care anymore. Now it's like, we'll just send 2,000 of your kids. You know, people even on the right, Lindsey Graham. But how about you send your grandkids, Lindsey? I think we need to start thinking about that more.
We can fight them economically, which is the better way to win.
That's right.
So, 100%. We can stop this war. You know how we do it? We drill, baby, drill.
That's right.
Get fuel down to $1 a gallon, and we start selling it to Europe so Russia can't do it,
and we
bankrupt them.
That's
done.
Right.
Done.
That's how Reagan did it. Reagan didn't get into a nuclear fight with Russia. He didn't put troops on the ground in Eastern Europe. No.
Yeah.
He built up our strength. Peace through strength was the doctrine. Today's doctrine is fight by projecting weakness. It's like almost the exact opposite.
And then leave our equipment behind.
And people. It's tragic. It's tragic.
And terrible.
I wish they would start thinking more about that. Our political leaders that are putting these kids in harm's way. We really need to be there. Could we do it a different way, to your point? Could we do it economically? Yeah. Or in the case of places like Afghanistan, do we just turn it into a freaking parking lot? Because that would have been my preference, to be honest with you. You go and you get your guy and you just leave it as it is. I mean, sadly, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan and we left in a rush because of Biden, and it went right back to the girls are no longer going to school. They can no longer. You're right exactly back to where you were 20 years ago. We didn't accomplish a thing, sadly, and that just pains me for all the death and the mutilation of these poor people with, missing limbs and body parts and parts of their soul, sadly.
Yeah.
It's tragic. Tragic.
For sure.
But anyway.
Tell us about, a lot of times I think some of our listeners are probably thinking, I've got some garbage in my garage. But I think there's a much bigger picture to that, which is, businesses. And I wish you were around when we bought this building. We bought this building a few years ago, and there was all kinds of stuff here.
Lots.
And it was funny because one of my things is I hate to just throw stuff out. Like, I'm thinking, gosh, we can't use this, but can somebody else use this, And then I'm thinking, we've got a business to run here. Do I really have time to empty out the warehouse? And then I say, all right, I'm going to do it on Friday. And then I'm in here, and then something comes up. Hey, Mike, can you help me here? And I'm leaving. And I'm like, I never got a chance to do that. There's a lot of businesses out there that need help cleaning. And I'm even thinking, auto mechanics and, how much garbage gets built up in some of these businesses where they can't even find their inventory anymore, right? It's just sitting there going to waste, and you can't put the stuff that actually sells on the shelf. It's like, you said in your business, Mike, you got to be careful. You're not the junk collector. But that's what happens in some of these businesses. I mean, I see it. I'll walk into a business and think, man, this thing, first of all, let's clean this thing up. That's what I would do, right? Because then you can understand what you have here. Yeah. Whether it's, getting some money for, some of the metal that needs to be melted down and turned into something else. But just clean the place out. So I don't think it's just mom and pops. I think you've got big businesses that you can work with to help sort of clear the slate to start that business and make a clean start, right?
We do. We help about 70% of our business is residential, 30% of our business is commercial, and we have the expertise and the know-how to come in and efficiently get a place cleaned up. We've got the equipment. We have the know-how. We have the resources of where to take the stuff. We have the connections to get people with the right things, and we can advise people on the best way to do it. I had a mom the other day who had almost 50 years of her dad's stuff.
Wow.
Her father passed.
Yeah.
And that's emotional.
Yeah.
You have to go through 50 years of memories and their things.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Right. And she was overwhelmed and didn't know where to start. And I was able to use my coaching skills to get her through that and to help her deal with this. And we just started with one space. And once she saw the difference of doing just one space made to her and how that helped her go through this and giving her tips on how she can honor her father by by doing certain things, like taking pictures of things and displaying, and knowing that certain things are going to people in
need.
That's
right. Well, it'll give her a fresh start.
It did.
Right? Yep. I mean, when you leave some of that stuff around, it's like it's always there.
Right.
And I don't think, and just me speaking out of, like, I don't think Dad would want that, right? Dad would want you to move on. He's in a better place. He's up at heaven going, hey, clean this stuff out. Let's move on, right? Let's make it happen. Where do people buy stuff? Like I was saying the stools. If you found stools and you couldn't find somebody that wanted them, where would I go to buy that stuff?
I appreciate you asking. At some point, I will probably have a resale center.
Okay.
I don't right now. Yeah. I just, you know,
I'm still stuck on the bar stools.
Mike just wants his stools, Robbie. Just go buy a stool.
I'll get the stools. The overwhelming majority of the stuff we do, we donate. We donate stuff back.
At this point, it's more so it's donating.
Really donating, and I do run a scrap operation because I can recover some of my costs by scrapping metal, and I want to take care of the environment. Right. I want to keep stuff out of the landfills.
I feel bad saying this. I didn't realize you did that. We literally last week just cleared out a room full of scrap metal back here, and I didn't know what to do with it. Right. I didn't want to throw it in the dumpster. Glenn's idea. Glenn came to the top. He's like, "Hey, some of this stuff we got to clear." I'm like, "Yeah, 100%." So we cleaned out that back room, and I had to hunt down somebody to find the scrap metal because I didn't want to just throw it in the dumpster and see it go to waste. First of all, I'd rather see somebody make a little money out of it. Number two, they're going to help, and I did help him. I helped him pull all of it out of here, but he's going to help me pull all of it out of here, and it's not going to go to waste. It's going to get reused, which was good.
Right. Just to frame that, it costs money to pick that stuff up.
Yeah.
So sometimes people will be like, hey, listen, I've got this pile of rusty fence. How much will you give me for it?
Oh, yeah.
That's not the way it works.
No, like, right.
I have a truck. I have insurance. I have employees.
Right. Yeah.
You pay me to pick up your garbage, and if I can keep it out of landfill, I do.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. But even that, rent a dumpster to try to throw all that stuff in. Right?
Right.
Yes.
One of the things that you said, which I found interesting, was that sometimes people find it overwhelming. And I've seen that a lot with family members and, you know, helping other clients and whatnot. Sometimes when you look at a task and it's so big, the whole house, like mom died, she was, you know, father, dad's been gone. Now it's a house full of stuff. And people look at it, whether it's a storage unit or a house, and they just become overwhelmed. They don't know where to begin. And they just, it's like they freeze. I've seen it. I've seen people literally just stand and look and they just don't know where to start. And I'll jump in and be like, well, let's go through this pile of mail. Let's start there, whatever. That's got to be a big part of it. Right? You mentioned your coaching and the things that, you know, bring in your past experience, which I found interesting. But that's, I would assume that's a pretty big part for a lot of people. They just, you know, especially when it comes to death and loss of loved ones, where they just feel so overwhelmed that they just don't know where to begin. And, you know, like you said, helping them to you know, take it down to bite-sized pieces, I think probably is a big part of it too, right?
Yes, manageable chunks so they can just start somewhere, and helping relieve them of the guilt. I'm the disinterested third party.
Uh-huh.
So it's not them moving through or rooting through the belongings or throwing something out. It's me. It's somebody else making a suggestion or doing the part that's hard for them to do. So and once we get the process started, it really starts to open up. And they, particularly when they start feeling the relief and the sense of, okay, I'm doing the right thing, then they really dive in. And
a big part of that repairing that would be, hey, I know some of this stuff is going to a good place to help other families, right?
And I'll call people and let them know when there's a big, I had a huge storage clean out that had a ton of beautiful old furniture, and they just felt horrible about this stuff, you know, being thrown out. I said, well, it's not going to get thrown out. I'm going to get it donated somewhere. And I was able to tell them where it was donated.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of wrapped it up for them and gave them that final closure. It's nice. It's nice. And it's just nice to be able to help people. I have the greatest job in the world. When you, half the time when I'm dropping stuff off to people, they're not native English speakers. Mm-hmm. There's zero ability for us to communicate other than through our eyeballs and emotion.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, Pastor Miguel gave me their number. Right. I know they need something through just kind of hand and arm signals and a little bit of pig Latin, right? We figure it out, we communicate, and then with a hug, we're off, and we just helped somebody.
That's great.
They don't owe me anything. I didn't know them from Adam, but they were children of God, and we got to help them out with something. Yeah. So it's the greatest job in the
world.
That's
awesome. Now, how do people get in touch with
them? Yeah, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No.
Well, I was going to ask about the franchise, but no, that's the question first. How do people get in touch with them? Do they want to?
Yeah.
That's an easy one. It's 844-GET-JDOG.
Okay.
That will 844-GET-JDOG gets them to our national call center, and that call will get routed to us, or 716-260 4932.
So that's a perfect segue then. And then my next question is, what does the franchise do for you? So they're obviously running the National Call Center.
Yes.
So when we bought a Subway restaurant, Mike and I, it was obviously a franchise. The reason we did was name recognition, structure. Right? We had no idea how to run a restaurant, right? The different ratios. I had no idea what food costs should be, right? All those things are helpful in a franchise. What was the reason that you chose to go the franchise route as opposed to doing it on your own?
I went the franchise route because I loved the idea of having somebody that already figured it out. Mm-hmm. They were very successful. They've done this 200 times. If they've already done it 200 times, when I bought my franchise, they probably know what the heck they're doing. They've got a pretty good recipe for success. Right. He was a veteran. He was actively seeking veterans. So it was the same mindset.
Yeah.
He was one of my people. And so we went down for a discovery session. We spent about 3 days with them. Got to learn about the company. We got to go out on a truck. We got to see the recycling. We got to sit in on meetings, and they were very transparent. Mm-hmm. So after that 3 days, we were sold. We were sold, and I knew that this was a wonderful way for me to serve people, take care of my family, and get a leg up. I wasn't really starting from scratch.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm starting from scratch.
Right. Yeah.
I had a blueprint where if I was willing to put in the sweat equity, they had a proven system that works.
Wow. Mike and I call it the business in a box.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we've always called the business in a box. For the franchise, like a business in a box. You open the box, you run the business. As long as you work hard, they've already figured out a lot of that stuff for you. So absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Subway was like that. I mean, our other financial business took off. So, and we didn't know at the time when we owned these when we started our financial business, how good was it going to grow? How big was it going to grow?
Right.
So as a backup plan, we bought these Subway restaurants. And to this day, I mean, I can go into a Subway and know if they're pretty positive, whether I know they're positive. Profitable or not, I know how many pickles should be on there, how many olives should be on there. Cheese is expensive, by the way. We figured that out, right? So,
that's right. But their costs down.
Yeah, their model of understanding labor versus cost of goods was unbelievable, and they did a great job. And I thought they did a great job advertising too. Obviously, they went through Jared became a dirtbag and all that, but you can't control some of that stuff. But what you can control is how they ran their organization. That was a class act. Learned so much.
100%.
Learned so much. It's funny because we'll have people now that will win money or inherit money, and they'll come in and they'll say, "Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a bar. I'm going to start a pizzeria." And I'm like, "Do you know anything about that? Like, what's the cost of goods with that? What's the cost of labor?" Right. Well, you were in the restaurant business. You understand that, right? I don't know. You don't know what the cost of cheese is?
Back house labor, front of house labor. Yeah. Lord.
I'll tell you what. You want to start a pizzeria, you better understand what the cost of cheese is, because it's not free,
If you don't have those ratios right, you're talking about a 10 to 15, maybe 20%
margin,
usually 10% profit margin. So 10% in over sauce or over cheese or whatever is real easy, or over labor is real. That it goes poof. So without knowing that, that was for us, that was a big deal. Sounds like a lot of the same feel, which is awesome. Let me ask you one last question, Robbie. We'll kind of wrap it up with this. Is along the same theme of you built this as opposed to you didn't build this, of course, Obama. What government assistance, if any, have you ever received for any of your businesses, or what? And then the second part of that question is, what obstacles have you had to go through, whether it be a permitting process or a business license or anything else? So helpful on the one hand, obstacle on the other.
I'll be honest with you, as a veteran, one of my weaknesses is asking for help. So I don't often reach out for help. And for whatever reason, J-Dog Brands made it easy to ask for help. They were very, very kind, and they were just, because they were my people, he was a veteran, there was instant trust there. Mm-hmm. So I get lots of help from corporate services. I haven't really relied on the government for anything. I'm not, the government typically is more obstructionist than helpful.
They certainly
whether that's
have been
by
for
design
us,
or not. They typically bureaucracy, right? Yeah. They don't have to make a profit, so they don't make decisions based on the profit model. They make decisions based on what's easy for them.
Right. Yeah,
that's not really a great way to run the business.
Spending other people's money is real easy.
Yes, and when you don't have to balance the books, because the government clearly doesn't ever balance their books. It just doesn't work out well.
Now, so. Outside of them shutting down your business, obviously that was a huge hurdle. But as far as the new business goes, have you had issues with getting permits or business, anything like that? Or has everything been pretty smooth with Orchard Park and all that?
Orchard Park has always been great to work with. Good. All the towns have been great. No special permitting is required. Good. My trucks are under 10,000 GVRW, so that makes it easy with the registration process. Getting ready. I'm a service disabled veteran owned business, so it was an easy process to get registered as that, and that allows me to bid on certain contracts with the government. And everything's been terrific. Everything's been going really well. Thank you.
Awesome.
For
awesome.
844-GET-J-DOG. 844-GET-J-DOG. Or locally here, 716-206-4932. Now, we've got a lot of lists. 260. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I had it back for it. 260-4932.
Yes.
844-GET-J-DOG. We have a lot of listeners out in the Rochester area. How far do you go?
We will go to Rochester. Right now, we own the Buffalo territory, and that covers as far as we need to go. Rochester, such I think the next closest one is out in Syracuse. So we've got the entire Western New York that we service.
And, 716.
And so it's territorial.
260-4932. I'll say that right. 260-4932.
That's good to know. So other people that are interested in maybe starting another business as well, because I'm hoping that some of this podcast, you know, maybe encourages somebody or inspires somebody to start a business, because we need more entrepreneurs and we need more business owners in this country just like you. And that's huge. But no, I forgot the question I was going to ask. But what...
it was about the territory?
Oh, yeah, territory. Yeah. So is it a region? So, like, if somebody else wants to use the Buffalo, they couldn't, right? So it's not...
That's correct.
Okay. So that's good.
We own
the
Buffalo. We own the Buffalo territory, correct. So nobody else is going to be able to do that. But if a veteran is listening, I really recommend looking into J-Dog for this opportunity.
Awesome.
I know we talked a little bit about suicide. To put that number in perspective, when we said 30 per 100,000... Since 2011, there's been approximately 7,100 combat deaths, is tragic. Since September 11th, 2011, there's been 31,000 veteran suicides.
Yep.
So 7,100 of us have perished in combat.
Yes.
31,000 have taken their lives, and part of that, I'm not an expert, I'm not a psychologist, this is just my personal feeling, part of that is lack of purpose. They've transitioned out this 20-year war that never ended, that really didn't mean anything to anybody now. And they've lost purpose. Mm-hmm. So if they want to take a chance, I recommend they look into J-Dog Junk Removal and Hauling, start a franchise. It's an amazing opportunity. It's a great organization, and it will give you a sense of purpose.
Wow.
And maybe it'll take you off that the edge of that cliff.
Yeah, well, we've seen it with our clientele. We've had multiple clients who have had children who have been in the service and have passed away through suicide. Yep. Just awful.
It's tragic.
But
you're
right, though. Purposeful living is huge. It's just having a purpose that you're living for something makes a big difference. So, Robbie, thank you.
I know we're wrapping up. There's just so many amazing things. Like the people, when you show up to take the junk away and they know you're a veteran, they're like thanking you for serving. Mm-hmm. So I say that because that makes such a big difference in that purposeful, that sense of belonging. That's a lot of what these guys miss when they get out of the service. Mm-hmm. They miss the camaraderie. But to show up to somebody's house and have somebody thank you every day for serving, mm-hmm. it's just to be in that positive environment really makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's an amazing experience. That's just huge. So many opportunities for vets to feel good.
Rob, 844-GET-J-DOG.
844-GET-J-DOG. We'll get one more time, Robbie. Thank you so much. Robbie DeNiro, 844-GET-J-DOG. If you need him, give him a call. If you had junk to remove, Robbie DeNiro, good luck on your new business. Thank you so much. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Mike.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.